Today's daf is daf chof, Masechet Bava Basra, Perek Sheni, Perek Lo Yachpor, but we are still on daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, and right at the beginning of a new sukkah. And this is Omer of Tuvi Bar Kisna, Omer Shmuel. Somebody did not do a good job at planning the coffee. No, not a good sort. So it's above the one-third mark. Oh, gosh. Come on. Unless you want to time it for Richie.
Richie said it. That was my suggestion.
I see.
And it doesn't sound like
a
suggestion that the
father
is coming back
to have coffee. I see. Okay, excellent. All right. So we're up to Omer of Tivi Bar. Now, the truth is that this little piece is really not very relevant to our daf. We're bringing it in only because in the course of this whole sugya, we're going to get to two elements that have some vague reference to our mishnah as to whether something damages a wall, whether salt damages a wall, whether zroyim damages a wall. But, I mean, you have to recall that the Gemara always takes advantage of any opening to introduce sugyas of Tumah v'Taira because we don't have mesechta on Tairas. So we like to be mavara the issues. And before we begin, let us just remember the main points about the transference of tumah. We're talking about over here, tumah of a mace, where there's a body in a room, and there's another adjoining room that's connected to this room with an opening, which we call a chalon. Remember a chalon in those days? Not what we call a window with glass, it's just an opening in the wall. Air space, baby. Now, for purposes of our Gemara, we're talking about a window that is a tefach al tefach. The truth is there are many different sizes of chalonot that are ma'avir tumah, depending on whether it's a natural occurring thing, whether it was made for light, whether it's asu b'dei adam. Tosfos goes through many different shiurim, because otherwise there'd be a lot of steers in the circuit. But we're talking about the type of chalon that is ma'avir tumah, if it's open, a tefach ala tefach. So then the tumah that is contained within the ohel of room A will cross through into room B and will remain contained in that room too. The thing is that if anything would limit the size of that window, the tumah would not be able to come through because it would be less than tefach ala tefach. Now the complicating factor is that limitations of size require that the thing that's limiting it is part of the chalon, meaning it's going to stay there. If you set a book down on the chalon for a minute, it's not going to be preventing the tumah because you're going to be picking up the book. The other complicating factor is that there are some things that will not be chotzitz b'fnei tumah at all. The rule generally is any surface which itself is mekabel tumah is basically directly pervious to tumah as if it's not there. So therefore, if you've got foodstuffs or a kli that's mekabel tumah, then the tumah is going to go right through it. So it's not going to be chotzeitz either. Now, what's interesting about our sugya, and the only reason it's here is because since the Mishnah talks about melach and zroyim being bad for walls, so that should define whether something's going to be left on the wall. So meanwhile, we're going to have an issue later on about why anybody would leave something damaging to the window being part of the wall, obviously, if, according to our Mishnah, it's meant to be taken away. Therefore, it shouldn't be mamayah. That's the opening to our sugya. But in any event, Shmuel's ma'amar over here is a little bit confusing, because Shmuel talks about a rakik. A rakik is what we call a matzah, one of those thin, not what the Sfarim call a matzah, which is actually edible, but this is a thin cracker-like thing. So that rakik that's left there, it's not memayet the chalon. Now, if you're talking about not memayet the chalon, what it seems to be saying, according to Shmuel, is that there's a problem over here of removal of the rakik. Because if the issue was chatzitza, and that since a rakik is a ma'achal, so it's ochlin, it would be directly pervious to tumah, and the tumah would be able to come through anyway, we wouldn't be talking about being mamayit. We would be talking about in a chatzitza. Because even if it were mamayit completely, and it was an actual stima, and you meant to leave it or whatever, but it would still be ochlin, and it wouldn't help to be mamayit. So that means that what Shmuel is talking about, for some reason, is a rakik which is not going to be ma'avir tumah, which later on I'm going to ask why. And the only issue is whether it actually limited the window space. So Shmuel is saying, well, the rakik isn't ma'avir at the window space. So he says, well, what do you mean the rakik isn't ma'avir at the window space? A piece of bread? I mean, afilo avanami. Why are we talking about a rakik? Now, we thought, at this point, Tosfos says, what do you mean even? I mean, what did we think the issue was? So Tosfos says, at this point, we thought that the rakik maybe was meant minyuchad, because it's got two issues. First of all, since it's thin and easy to just melt away, so it's going to simply fall off. So therefore, he's not going to be allowed to live there. And at that point, we're asking about, and if it's a thick piece of bread, it is going to stay there. It's also not going to stay there. So it shows or shouldn't be mamayim. And then there's the issue about whether the person means to leave it there or not. But we'll see that there's actually other issues that are involved. So ask the Gemara, why are we talking about dafka matzah, even an avos? It's on the contrary. Lo mi boy kama, we're trying to tell you a chiddush, an ava. Lo mi boy ava, over there, the kivan, the irzele, lo mevatele. You see, if you have an actual piece of challah there, so a piece of challah, even if it gets a little bit ruined on the bottom, you always cut off the part that's ruined. Or according to others, the challah doesn't pick up as rapidly the moisture that you're going to sit over there so that I can't see you. You come all the way over here so I should have the joy of looking at you. And then you sit over there. There's bound to be somewhere. Scott's not here? I mean, I don't know. He's probably been away longer than me. Ellie! Welcome home. So what's 5 years in a daf yomi? Or is it 7 years? Yeah. So now the aveh, since it's not going to be spoiled, so I would say, okay, so therefore it's irzile. It's something that he's going to be using. If he's going to be using it, he's not going to be mevatelet in the window. But a rakik, which a matzah, as you'll note, you put it on a damp surface, it immediately gets ruined. There's nothing you can do with it. So I would say, since the rakik is mos, ema betulim mevatelet, I might think that it's meant to lie there, kamash malan, that it's still not considered sufficiently bottled to the window to be part of a mechitza. And therefore, the window remains a tefach al tefach, and the tuma will be over. Asks the Gemara, why in the world are we talking about the size? It's nothing to do with the size. The material is in chotzeis. So let's say that it would be completely sotem, so what? But the material is pervious to tuma because it's mekabel tuma. So v'tepikle davile davashu mekabel tuma, v'chol davashu mekabel tuma, eno chotzeis b'fnei tuma. Isn't the rule that foodstuffs will not be chotzeis? It has nothing to do with how much of it and how big the opening is. It's as if it's not there at all. So why are we talking about whether it can be mamayit in terms of whether you're going to leave it there or not? Even if you'd leave it there, it wouldn't make any difference. Now, it's talking clearly, Shmuel must be referring to a case where the rakik was nilash bimei perot, so that the original dough was made without any of the shiva mashkin. He used apple juice, squeezed apples, let's say. So that's considered to be mei perot, is not one of the shiva mashkin, and because of that, it's not mukshel lekabel tuma. It's not mukshel lekabel tuma. The surface is impervious to tuma, and therefore it would have been chotzeis b'fnei hatuma, except for the fact that you're going to be taking it away. Therefore, there's no chatzitza. First, we have to decide, is there a mechitza? Then we can decide whether this mechitza is a chotzeitz mechitza in terms of tuma. So Shmuel is saying more fundamentally, there's no mechitza over here. Therefore, it's irrelevant whether this thing is chotzeitz if they have tuma or not. Meitvin. So as to the Gemara, from the following list of issues, we're going to have a number of different rise, but all of them are going to revolve around the question of materials that certainly on the surface are not things that you would leave in a window. A window, again, meaning an airspace between the two rooms. So you have a kupa, you have now a container, which is malea tevet. This container is full of grain, or a straw, or a chavit malea grorot. You have a barrel, which is full of dried figs. And these things are munachim b'chalon. Ro'im kosh ilu yinatlu, v'cholim tevin v'grogrot la'amod b'fnei atzman, chotzitzim, v'ilav ein chotzitzim. So we've got a number of very confusing issues here. First of all, the Gemara clearly means, I mean, the Braita clearly means to remove the issue of the container from the equation. Somehow or other, this container doesn't exist. Why that's true, we'll see later on. But the only issue is the contents. So are the contents of the container going to be a proper mechitza or not? The measurement of that is, sans container, will they be there? So in other words, could these things be strong enough to stand in the chalon even if I peel away the container or not? If they are, so then they would be a chatzitza. Now, of course, there's two problems over here. One is the simple problem, there should not be a chatzitza, because they're pervious to tuma. Fine, we'll discuss that issue. But the second issue is that according to Shmuel, these are things that clearly are not meant to be left in a chalon, and therefore they can't be mamayat in a chalon, according to him, because he's atid litlo. So all of this now is problematic for Shmuel, because tevin, I mean, you may say, you're certainly not going to eat the hay, but I mean, feed it to an animal. So tevin is chazil behemto. Why then would he possibly leave the tevin in the window? Now, it's talking about basaria. It's talking about that it's rotten tevin. Okay, so you can still put it in a cement mix. It's a chazilatina. Well, it's not only rotten, it also has in it sharp thorns. So since it has sharp edges in it, the way that they mixed cement before the cement mixer days, or that they tread on it until it mixed properly. You're certainly not going to tread on something that's got a lot of thorns in it, unless you're Indian, of course. But over here, we're not talking about such people, so therefore it's not roy for cement. Okay, says the Gemara, but it's chozi la'asaka. You can use it for fuel, for your fireplace. No, it's talking about b'metuna. It's also damp. Okay, so it's chozi la'asaka gadol. You could throw it into a large fire, which dries it and burns it. Okay, but hesek gadol lo shkiach. I mean, that's not something that a guy has in mind, that he's going to have this massive fire to throw it into. So memela, it's considered to be a bottle. Fine. Now, what about the grogrot? That's the tevet. I mean, certainly the grogrot are chozolei. You were going to be eating that yourself. Or mashmul, it's talking about over here, bishi hitrifu. They got wormy, or others learned they became rotten. And of course, it means that it's so rotten that they're not even going to be usable for a behema. V'chein toni rabba baravua. The case over here is talking about bishi hitrifu. So now, according to Shmuel, we've worked out just that piece. You would leave it there. You have no use for it. Fine. But what about the container? Now we have to worry about the container. Our problem, our initial problem, is we said, let's leave that aside, is that for some reason, we're analyzing this only in terms of the contents. Why is the container itself not an issue? So if we're talking, I understand, if we're talking about a case of a kupa, which is made out of wood or out of reeds, that's going to be useless for being chutzit b'fnei atuma. The good old days are over, Rich. Okay, all you guys on the internet, the poke Richie tool is now available. All right, so it's talking about over here a case of a container, obviously, that is ma'avir tuma. The problem is the chavis. Chavis is made out of cheres, almost by definition. That's the way the word chavis is used. If it's made out of cheres, cheres is makabel tuma. Now, obviously, there's one simple solution. The surface of the cheres, which is not its inside space, is not makabel tuma. So if the surface is facing the mate, so then we've got a problem that the chavis itself would be chotzet. But if the inside is facing the mate, which may be the case over here, then we only have to worry about the contents because the chavis itself is not going to be chotzeitz b'fnei atum. So then the issue would be, are the contents no longer going to be chotzeitz b'fnei atum if you're going to take them away, with Shmuel's problem, or if they would be roi l'achil, obviously, and they too wouldn't be chotzeitz. So therefore, the Gemara asks, okay, the kupa, I understand, is pervious, therefore it's going to be transparent to the tumah. But what about the chavit? The chavit, echidamya. If the opening, which means its inner space, is facing outside, so that would mean that the surface of the cheres, which cannot be makabel tuma, would be facing the part where the mate is. Then it should be chotzet on its own without any contents. So then, igufa techotz. Or kli cheres, enu matamim begabo. We know from the outside, the kli cheres will not be matame. It's like, well, okay, fine. Okay. So now you've defined it. I mean, obviously, it's not a problem. It's clearly talking about, Ella, that the pum is legav. Well, you know what? It could even be talking about where the pum is labar. And the assumption, in other words, maybe, in fact, the part of the chavis that's facing the mate is actually makabel. It would not be makabel to a mate. Nonetheless, it's not talking about cheres. A chavit is certainly, the word chavit can be used for chavit shamatechet. And the issue there would be that the chavit itself would be transparent to tuma, because matechet will actually transmit the tuma, and because of that, the chiddush would be that only if the internal objects, the grogrot, the tevin, would be something that would be mamayat the chalon. Without the chavit, then they would still be mamayat the chalon. This, by the way, although it sounds like a trivial point, is actually a very important point. And that's why the Gemara is bringing it as an ibayitem, as an alternative approach. Because a metal kli, the Torah is marbe that cherev areo kechalal, which means that any metal kli exposed directly to a mate is not only impervious to tuma, it's as if it becomes the presence of the mate. But if that's the case, then you would say, what good is it to have something inside the chavit of metal? Because the chavit will transmit the tuma sameis directly, as if it's mechuber to the mace. So here, there's a whole new sugya about cherev areo kichalal, whether it even works through the tuma of oyel, to be considered to be an extension of the mate. It's only through the negia of the mate that we would call it an actual presence of the mate in terms of havar astum. So you can see this is like a major, beautiful addition. This little iboy tema. Okay. But in any event, all that concerns us here is the contents of the barrel, the kupa, the chavit, as the case may be. Now, our problem, and this is finally the reason why the sugya is brought over here, is from the following. Meitve, asavim. If you have now these weeds that grew up, and you were tolesh them, and you put them in a chalon, or for that matter, they actually grew in the chalon, and here's where it gets to be a problem. Because if they grew in the chalon, according to the Mishnah, you need to get rid of them because they would damage your chalon. And therefore, we're now introducing a new issue. Forget about whether they're usable. They're not meant to stay there. And therefore, we get involved with Shmuel and our Mishnah, you see. So, osha olu mi'alehem b'chalonot. Or, suppose you have little strips of material that are less than shalosh al shalosh, of matloniot, which are less than three etzpaot on three etzpaot, and because of that, they're not makabel tumah, because the minimal shear of cloth to be makabel tumah is three by three etzpaot. And suppose you have an aver or basar, which are medul dalim, bebeima b'chaya. Suppose you have now pieces of an animal that are connected still to the body, but are ultimately not going to live because they've been cut. And this is sitting now inside the animals next to the window. This is in the window. Or an oaf that actually made its nest in a window. So now these things themselves cannot be makabel tumah. So an oaf is shachin b'chalon. Or for that matter, a goy who can't be makabel tumah. And he's taken up residence in the window. An ovek yochavim shiashav b'chalon. No, he's memayadim. We're talking about that. He made it less. So he's sitting in the chalon. Or you have a premature, less than ben shmona. And remember that in those days, this halacha obviously no longer applies, but in those days, a ben shmona was guaranteed that he couldn't survive, and therefore did not have a din of a human. So a ben shmona was never born. So ben shmona hamunach b'chalon, and melach, which also involves our Mishnah, because salt is considered to be now an otzer of melach, is what's going to destroy the other person's kota. So here we've got two issues that are nagei our Mishnah, which at least explains why this is here. And klei cheres, and a sefer Torah, all of these things that are munach bechalon, kulam mematim bechalon. These things are actually going to cause a limited size of the chalon. So now you have to see what airspace is left. If you have less than a tefach al tefach that's left, then you don't have room for the tumah to go through. No, none of these things are mekabel tumah. Aval hashelek, things that are going to simply melt on their own. So you have now snow that's in the chalon. Or barad, so you have now little pieces of ice, which are also going to melt. Or galid, or kfor. The galid is frost. Kfor is actual frozen water. And water that's actually falling. Or, according to some, it's talking about that there is a container of the water. And with the additional water that is omed above the container because of surface tension, you now have a little bit less. The question is whether you can use that to be mamayit. All of these things are not mamayit b'chalon because they're not omed at all. Because they're just going to melt. Now, the question is, starting from the beginning, the asavim, aren't these things edible by an animal? In which case, you're not going to leave them there. And according to Shmuel, anything that you're not going to leave there is not going to be mamayit in the chalon. So certainly the asavim are not going to be left there. And the Gemara is talking about bavratz, I should say, which is poisonous to a behemoth. Okay, if that's the case, you could still chazil asaka. I mean, this is all inserted by the Bach. It's talking about belachi. So can't you use it for a fireplace? No, it's dead. Now, the next thing you said was that if these things grew in the window, wait a minute. Our Mishnah says that if something is growing near a wall, it's going to damage the wall. Oh, a very well-known effect of ivy, which is why people will tear ivy off of the wall, even though it's pretty. So if it's kosher lekotel, so kiven shekotel, the kosher lekotel, according to our Mishnah, aren't you going to take it away? And if you're going to take it away, I'll leave it to Shmuel. It's not mevutot to the chalon, and therefore it's not mamayit b'chalon. So shokenu. On my rabbi, we're talking about over here, these rooms are in a room. And therefore you couldn't care less. So the mate was in one of the rooms of the churva, and the next room, there's things that are growing in the room. So you'll leave it there. With Papa Amar, not necessarily. It could be talking about Bekoto Yishuv, and the din over here is only a function of how close to the wall it's growing, not how close to the wall the leaves are. So why can't we say it's talking about over here that the plant is more than three tefachim from the wall, which is the way our Mishnah defined the whole problem, and therefore the leaves you don't care about. So it's talking about Baba Ivy, by the way, actually sticks in tendrils or roots on the wall. But if you don't have that problem, there's not a problem. See, here we're talking about Baboin Michutz L'Shlosha L'Chalon. Okay, so according to Shmuel, you'll leave them there, it's not a problem, and it ought to be Mamayit. Ask the Gemara and these Matloniot, these little pieces of Beged aren't they usable for patching your clothing? Chazulei lekriya delavusha, you could use it for a tear in your clothing. It's talking about besmichta. Shmuel will have to understand that the issue of, even though these cases are very strange cases, right? But that's not the point. I mean, obviously we're not concerned with the problem of why it is that we would have such weird cases. Like, we never are in a Mishnah. Our main focus over here is on the material, not on why that material would be left there, you see. You see, the chiddush in each one of these is just bringing out which things are going to be chaytzeitz, not the chiddush of how I would leave it there. That's a side point. So Shmuel is saying, but Shmuel, I mean, Lamaisi, and I go, nah, it's talking about this crazy case. We would leave it there, because we're looking for a laboratory situation to examine the materials in terms of the tumah, not to try to figure out the particularities of why it would be left there. So it doesn't matter. As long as we find once a year where it's possible to get around Shmuel, so Shmuel doesn't have a problem with the Mishnah taking a crazy case, because it's trying to talk about an issue. So ask the Gemara, aren't the matlonios usable? No, it's not usable because they're smichta, they're so thick you'd never take them away. Fine, so you revata them in the chalon. So what defines their transparency to tuma? The size. So it's less than 3 etzbaot, so now already it's not going to be able to be mekabel tuma. Ask the Gemara, but if it's thick, then it's usable as gauze. So it's chazi l'umna. So why wouldn't it be used by blood letter to put on top of your puncture? Let's talk about bariska. It's actually referring to sack. So if it's sack, I mean, you can't use that as gauze. It's going to actually damage the skin. If it's bariska, so then the shear is not 3 etzbaot al 3 etzbaot. It's 4 tvachim on 4 tvachim. Because such junky material is not mekabel tumah unless it's quite large. So why then did we give a shear of sholosh al sholosh? What it should have said is she'id behem arba al arba mi boilet. So something's wrong with that answer. I don't mean literally sack, for heaven's sakes. I mean, it's not smooth cloth. I mean, ke'ein riska. It's higher quality, but not usable for medical gauze. Okay, next case you said, but doesn't make sense, only bit of Shmuel, is you spoke about an aver and a boser, and a mudodalin, the behemo, the chaya, for heaven's sakes, the behemo and the chaya are going to sit there in the window. They're going to walk away. Arka, aren't they going to get up for Azla? They'll run away and leave. No, it's talking about that I tied them up there. I mean, if you tied them up there, I mean, you're not going to leave them there for no purpose. You're going to be shechting them, right? They eat them. So shechit lei? No, it's talking about it's not kosher. B'tmeya. No. So sell it to a goy. Mazel nachrim. Why would you leave it in the window? I mean, it's got to be. Well, it's talking about b'kusha. So it's a very, very broken down, weak old piggy. And therefore, it's useless. So, I mean, what do you mean it's useless? I mean, you've got this Avram Adobel, cut it off and throw it to the dogs to feed it. It's your kid's pet piggy, for heaven's sakes. It's even Dikatsar Balechayim. So, Lord of you, that's all you need to start cutting off pieces of it. That's terrible. You're not going to do that. But then you talk about a bird that's taken up its nest in the Chalon. I mean, a bird's going to fly away. It's not going to be there permanently. Parach Vazel. So, Shmuel say it's talking about that it was Kashur. So if it's kosher, you're going to shecht it. No, it's not a kosher bird. So you'll sell it to a guy. No, it's talking about a bird that's a kalnita. Kalnita has got no flesh on it. It's basically all bones. Nobody's going to bother cooking a kalnita. So then why don't you give it as a pet to your kid? No, it's actually a misaret. It's going to scratch your son. You're not going to give it to him to play with. What do you mean? A kalnita doesn't scratch. I don't mean a kalnita. I mean something like a kalnita, which doesn't have enough flesh on it that's edible, but it also is a scratchy kalnita. Even better. Okay, so we're talking about Kain Kalnita. Next case. A goy is sitting in the window. Okay. He's not going to get up and walk away. Well, no, he's obviously tied up, so he can't walk away. Okay, so a friend is going to come and let him go? No, he's not going to be there permanently. So, Ati Chavishar, no, he's a mitzorah. Nobody wants to touch him. So here you got a tied up leper who obviously is stuck there forever. Okay, very standard case. Okay. Says the Gemara, but even lepers have friends. They've got other lepers. So Ati Mitzorah Chavri Shavrile. It's talking about over here that he is a Chavushe Malchut. So he is actually tied up there by order of the government, and he's not going to be leaving very soon. So Mamela, he's sort of a permanent resident in the Chalon. All right? And this is the Tower of London, basically.
Which is a Churva.
Which is a Churva, and it meets all of your requirements. Uben Shmona, now the other case. You've got a ben shmona that's munach b'chalon. I mean, surely he has a mother that's going to be taking him out of the chalon so long as he breathes, no? So ake ime dare, like, no, it's talking about a Shabbos, and he's mupsa, so what a game woman. The tanya ben shmona, reo ke'evin, vasula tata lo b'shabbat. Aval imo shocha alav amini kato, his mother can bend over him so that he could take some milk in order for her not to get a breast infection. Mipnei hasakana. It's interesting that Lamaisa, we don't really worry about the sakana of the child, but it means the sakana of the mother, and yet he's not considered to be a child. The problem is that there's a Rashi that says the sakana to both, the aim of the yellow, which everybody has to. Ask the Gemara Melach. What about salt? Salt is usable, no? Why would you leave it there? Chazile? It's talking about bimirirut. It's talking about salt. It's got other minerals in it, and it's going to sour. Okay, so you could still use it for tanning skin. So chazile wrote, no, it's talking about yitbekotzi, and you're going to hurt yourself if you try to use it to put on the skins. But wait a minute, what about the Mishnah? The Mishnah says that if salt is next to the wall, it's going to damage the wall. Why would you leave it here? So it's kashila kotel, to keep in the kashila kotel shakma. I'm just going to take it off. It's talking about over here, the yatva chaspa. It's sitting on a piece of broken pottery to protect the wall. Says the Gemara, but chaspa gufe techutz. If that's the case, why wouldn't the actual chaspa, which is not makabotuma, why wouldn't it be a good chatzitza? Says the Gemara, the reason that the chasper won't be chatzitza is because of let bashiura. It's talking about, it doesn't have a shiur. Now, Rashi has a very strange shot. Rashi's shot in let bashiura, and we'll see in a moment what forces Rashi to say this, is that it doesn't have the chashivut of a shiur, and therefore it itself is bottle, as if it doesn't exist. Tosfos says there is no such thing as a shiur for being mamayit. Either the window is left with a tefach al tefach or not. Who the hell? I mean, what difference does it make if a piece of chaspa is choshev or not? We're going to bring a raya now, and this is why Rashi is forced into this. We're going to bring a raya now from the sugya of Shabbos as to what the shiur of hotzah is for a chaspa. And based on that, we're going to say that it doesn't have the chashivas, even the gabe tumas. That's crazy. What does a shiur of chashivas for hotzah on Shabbos have to do with whether the window is memuot or not? So here's the mission. Here it's not. Cheres. K'dei retain bein patzim l'chaveiro. If you have now pitzimim, so you have like pieces of wood in a wall, so now you're going to use these pieces of cheres to keep them open so that you have airspace between them, to be like little chalonot. So that would be the minimal shear of a cheres legabe hotza'ah. And therefore, here it doesn't have that shear. Says Tosfos, that can't be the meaning. And yet, it certainly seems to be the meaning, because otherwise, what's the point of saying kid it's not? The Mishnah and Shabbos is irrelevant to the dinim of Tumah. Tosfos is very simple. We've already established that you're not going to leave the melach on the wall, right? But that means that if you have any use for the cheres, if you remove the cheres, then you have to remove the melach. So we have to prove that it's useless, because that way the melach will stay there. But not for that. So in other words, there's not enough shear of the cheres alone to be mamayat echalon. But we need the cheres to stay there to support the melach that does have a shear to be mamayat echalon. So I have to explain to you why I won't be taking the cheres. There shouldn't be chazik. No, so Rashi understands that we've basically, you know, gone just to concentrate on the cheres itself, you know, which could be. I mean, there is another problem over here, which is we already explained why we don't care about the damage to the chalon legabe the yasavim. So what forces us to deal with it this way? To say that it's talking about a cheres, which is mashma, that we still have an alternative. So if you're going to take away the cheres, what's with the melach? Okay, so he has to learn, there's no shear. Basically, the cheres itself wouldn't have a shear because it's not there. Okay, what about the case of clay cheres? I mean, clay cheres is certainly useful. No, it's talking about the mitnef. It's filthy. It's filthy. You can use it for some filthy usage. Wouldn't it be good enough for the umna, for blood collection, which is exactly where you're headed, right? Blood collection. Okay. I can see why Richie is very tired. No coffee this morning. No coffee. No, but he's going for a blood test. He made it for others so that it should go off just as we're starting the daf to make it impossible for anybody to hear, so that we'd be delayed long enough for Richie to make it, except he still didn't make it. All right. So what about that? Can't you use it for umna? The minka, it has holes in it, so the blood will leak out anyway. So it's not usable for that either. Sefer Torah. Now, what in the world is Sefer Torah going to leave in a chalon? I mean, you take it out to read it, no? Chazir l'mikra? That's talking about the balui. You can't use it anymore. It's falling apart. So then it requires geniza. Shamte geniza to? Let the chalon be its geniza. Even though l'maisa, the chiyuv of geniza is to bury it next to a Talmud Chacham or something. Could be that right now there's no place available for burial, but as long as it's there, it's going to stay there. Something becomes available, then you'll bury it. The Rishonim answer.
Even though it's going to be taken away, then
that yeah, in other words, long term, I'm not thinking about it. All of these things, ultimately, obviously, it's not going to be there. Omar Rav, you should know that Bekol Osi Mechitza, you can build a Mechitza. Here we're talking about building a Mechitza, Lagabi, all dinam a Mechitza, Shabbos, Tuma, whatever the case may be. Chutz mi melach revavav. So if you have now melach, then the melach is basically something that blows away. So it's not considered to be a Mechitza. And revav melts. So a waxy substance, oily substance, melts in the sun, and therefore it's not a kosher Mechitza. Shmuel, omer afilu melach. Omer of Papa, there's no machlokas over here. Look, please. One was referring to melach sdomit, which is basically a rock salt. And one is talking about melach istrokanit. One is talking about normal soft salt. Va'ashta the Yomar Rabba, Oseh Adam Shnei Tzivurei Melach, U'miniach Aleihem Korah. Now that Rabba has said you should know that to be matir amavui, you could actually make two piles of salt, and you could put a beam on top of them, and then the pressure of the beam prevents the salt from flying around. And you've got a kosher marker now for your mavui. So now we could say that maybe both of them were talking about. That's because the melach is ma'amedet et ha-korah, and the korah is ma'amedet et ha-melach. So if that's the case, afilu melach istrokanit, it could be talking about. Velo plige, one is talking about whether there is a korah, one is talking about whether there is no korah. And the question is whether it's supportable. Okay, the next case we had in the Mishnah was Marchikim et Arechayim Shlosha min Ashechev, Shein Arba'a min Arechev. So we have a case of a grindstone where the lower component, which is the Shechev, is three tefachim from the wall, and the piece that turns round and round is called the Rechev, for obvious reasons. And now it's four tefachim from the Rechev. What is the problem of being mekarev such a thing to a wall? My taima, assuredly, bishum kiryat, because the rumbling of this thing is going to loosen the foundations of the wall. And therefore, it's not a good thing to put close to a wall. The problem is that there's a braita that speaks, it expands on the dinim of grinding, and it says that if you have a grindstone of a chamor, then the shear is three tvachim from the istrobil. The istrobil is the lower part in which you have you put in the stuff that you're going to be grinding, which is arba'a min hakelet. Yes, but the problem is that over here, you don't have something that stands in one place and rumbles with a very heavy stone. You have a moving stone that simply rides. Okay. The chamor moves it.
Different vibration?
It's completely different. It doesn't really rumble, and it's also much lighter than the real grindstone. So if that's the case, asks the Gemara, so then my tariya yika, there's no rumbling on such a thing. Says Gemara, there is no rumbling, but there are vibrations. And that's kola, basically. The sound, the vibrations of the sound, also can set up resonances that wreck the wall. So it doesn't necessarily have to be tremors in the earth. It can be vibrations, which is also enough. So it's alamishum kala. The tanur, we have shlosha min akalia, which is arba'a min asafa. So on the bottom of the tanur, the way Tosfos was learning, there's the belly of the tanur, and then there's the bottom of the tanur. According to Rashi, there's the bottom, which is the little piece of cement that you put on the bottom to basically hold up the tanur itself. But in any event, it would come out diagonally towards the ground, according to Rashi, or it would belly out, according to Tosfos. So you've got three from the belly or from the bottom, which would be four from the inside of the tanur. Says Abaya, but by the way, this means shmamina that kaya the tanur tefa. Who cares? Somebody who buys a tanur, and the guy comes to install the tanur, and he puts a half a tefa on the safa, you have a right to sue him, and he's got to put it together properly. There needs to be a tefa. Or if it's shaped, according to Tosfos, that the belly is less than a tefa, sticking out from the bottom, not a kosher tanur, you can demand another model.
Okay. Yes.
Lo yamid adam tanur betoch beto ela im ken yesh al gavav gova arba amot. Now we have a problem of heat and something that can cause fire if there's any inflammable materials on the next door neighbor or on the upper story. So you've got to have four amot, tremendous amount of space, above that tanur in order for it not to cause fire. And here, this is true, even if you're not talking about a neighbor who's above, but the city has a right to demand that they don't have to have something that's going to cause a fire, which is which a fire hazard to anybody. It doesn't matter how close it is. If it's inside, obviously, it's what it says, but tochabayit, don't put it inside. If it's much easier, if it's outside. Hayama midoba aliyah, if it's on a second story, then you also have a problem of the ceiling, because the korot of the bottom story could catch on fire. So there you need to have tachtav ma'aziva of three full tvachim. And those three tvachim now are going to prevent the heat. Ubikira, you could have a tefach. V'in hizik, if for ma'isi you were mazik, so then mishalem ma'ash hizik. Rabbi Shimon Omer, lo amru kol ashirim alolu, el ashim izik patrim el ashal. So now there's two issues. The issue is, can you do it? So zoning prevents you from doing it. Then there's a shear of, but nonetheless, you're still responsible for the damage. But you can't say, well, if I'm responsible for the damage, let me do what I want. No. In other words, we have normal hazards, but you still have to take responsibility for the hazards.
Even if you've done
the distance. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, no, the whole point is, lo amru kol ashirim alolu, Ela she'im izik patur min hashal. That's the whole point. Lo yiftach adam chanut shel nachtomim v'shel tzaba'im, tachat otzro shel chavero. A person cannot open up a store in which he's going to have an oven of a bakery, or he's going to have a place where there's tseva that's going to be made, underneath another person's house, and even, this is the way most Rishonim learn, even underneath an otzar, where the person doesn't actually live, but he may store things that are going to be affected by it. V'lo refet bakar, nor can you have a barn, because of the smells. Be'emet b'yayin hitiru, avalo refet bakar. For yayin, we were matir these various things. Why, the Gemara is going to discuss, l'chora, that's not very good for the wine. But a refet bakar, we weren't matir, because of the smells, which will ruin the wine also. Es the Gemara v'atanya arba'a. Doesn't it say betanur arba'a o bekirat shlosha? Amar Abaye ki tanya yi benachtomim. We're talking about a large tanur. A large tanur, tanur didan, is like the kira of the nachtom. So therefore, bekirat shlosha, because that's the shear to us, the small, the nachtom has enormous fires. So therefore, what we're saying is the tanur of our tanur is the equivalent of the kira of the nachtom, which is the shlosha tvachim of the ma'aziva. Lo yiftach chanut. Gentlemen, I'm really sorry, but I'm getting an optical migraine. I can't see anything. I simply can't see. I have to cut off. But I don't think it's a good idea. I think I need to take something immediately. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, so we'll leave out the next 7 lines. Okay. Sorry.